Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. In order to stay ahead in business, you need to be on the pulse of the business world, current news, and politics. We'll provide the thought-provoking topics and show you where we have been, what's next, and what it means for you at home. Life's complicated. Let Andy help you figure it out. Now, here is your host, Andy Bush.
Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. I'm your host. In this segment, we bring on one of the foremost authorities on the U.S. tax system. Grover Norquist is the president of Americans for Tax Reform, a taxpayer advocacy group he founded in 1985 at President Reagan's request. They can be found at atr.org. Grover, welcome back to Engage.
Absolutely. Good to be with you.
All right, there are a slew of IRS-related bills this week to deal with the fallout from the IRS investigating conservative groups on their nonprofit status. You know, here's a list. Taxpayer Bill of Rights, IRS Email Transparency Act, Taxpayer Knowledge of IRS Investigations Act, Ensuring Tax-Exempt Organizations' Right to Appeal Act, IRS Bureaucracy Reduction and Judicial Act, and Prevent Targeting an IRS Act. I believe ATR is supporting every single one of these, right?
Absolutely. There's seven bills, and all passed overwhelmingly on Wednesday, April 15th, Tax Day. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a real shot that the Senate could concur as well. These are all things that you and I and most Americans assumed were illegal anyway. The idea that IRS agents could take your personal data and put them on their Gmail accounts, like Hillary Clinton was doing with our state secrets, and ship them around outside so that, among other things, they could harass Tea Party people, and if somebody subpoenaed their government documents, no one would know because they weren't there. So there's some real interesting things to look at here. Also, simply saying, you know, hey, guys, it's illegal to discriminate based on politics. You can't audit somebody because you don't like their politics, which is what the IRS has been doing for about 70 years. And now it's going to be a fireable offense. And Thursday, the Congress voted to get rid of the death tax. That's the first time in 10 years that the House of Representatives will have voted on the death tax. An awful lot of congressmen got here 2 years ago, 4 years ago, and have never had a chance to vote to get rid of the death tax. I think it's very helpful to know who is for getting rid of the death tax, who's against it. That'll go to the Senate. I don't imagine the Democrats will filibuster. The president would veto. But we'll have a vote in the House. We'll know where people stand.
Right. And in the Senate, I think they need about, on the whip count on that side, I think they can get 54 people to senators to sign up for it. I think they obviously need six for the filibuster. And I think there's 13, I want to say, Democrats who have signed through their history of being a politician, signed up about being against the death tax. So there's some possibilities there. I mean, it's kind of shocking that we're finally getting to this.
It is. It's very healthy that polls have shown for many years, at least two decades now, that 70% of Americans support abolishing the death tax. Now, that's a tax that only, you know, less than 5% of Americans will have to pay, and because Republicans cut it back, it's more like only 1 or 2% may ever have to pay a death tax. But 70% say it's unfair and wrong. That shows how healthy our society is, that it's not driven by envy, that Obama's wrong when he thinks you can get everybody to gang up on 1 or 2% or 10% or the other. Not dividing people by economic achievement or class or whatever is what distinguishes the United States from Britain or some other European countries. And when Obama tries to play to a hatred and envy that he thinks is there, it's so wonderful in the politics of abolishing the death tax to recognize that, in point of fact, Democratic senators and presidents are driven by that envy, but not the American people.
Yeah, that is good news. You know, getting back to the IRS bills, is there any one of these that really stands out that needs to get done immediately, or are they just kind of all equal in your mind because they address such serious needs for reform?
I think all seven are important. All seven, Roskam put a number of them together. It protects citizens from being abused by the IRS, and it is time to put some teeth, legal teeth, into those protections because, of course, these guys during the Obama administration were targeting Tea Party activists and going, why, what's wrong with that? And everyone thought, well, of course it's wrong. Well, it's not illegal. Now it's illegal. Now it will be illegal when the Senate acts. And this passed so overwhelmingly, most cases by voice vote. People did not want to be seen as opposing these very reasonable reforms. I think there's a lot more that could be done, which right. would have been perhaps divided on party lines. I think it's a good step forward to take everything you can get on a bipartisan basis and actually get it into law and come back and ask for more.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially this week after everyone feels abused by the IRS because we're all paying our taxes and going through the process of spending hours trying to do it or paying somebody else to do it for us, which, of course, is expensive. Recently, Americans for Tax Reform held a presser with Mike Lee from Utah to highlight the need for aggressive pro-growth tax reform. What was going on here, Grover, and what is Senator Lee's proposal?
Senator Lee of Utah has a great proposal that he co-authored with Senator Rubio of Florida, who's now running for president. It does two things that people often think of in conflict. One, it dramatically increases the per-child deduction credit so that it makes it easier for lower-income people with families to not end up paying a bunch of federal taxes. And that's not quote-unquote pro-growth. The supply-siders always want to reduce marginal tax rates, and if you're going to quote-unquote spend tax dollars in cuts, they should go to ones that give you the most growth. So there were people who said, gee, this is odd. Is this walking away from Kemp Roth and supply-side economics and Reagan's worldview? But what they did was they coupled dramatic increases in the deductions and credits that families get with radical reduction in the taxes on investment and savings. 401ks, IRAs, capital gains, basically brought to zero. So this will turbocharge the economy. So you can say two things. This is very good for families. This is very good for low and middle income people. And it's going to be great for economic growth and job creation. I think it's a very good blending of both goals.
You know, this hasn't been written into legislative language yet and is still being worked on a little bit by the staffs. Obviously, they would like people's input. But what aspects do you think of this? I mean, clearly the child credit would appeal to, I believe, Democrats. But what do you – I mean, is that how we're going to split this thing? Is that you know, in trying to appeal to both sides of the aisle on this thing, it seems like it's got something for everyone in it and that could garner some support from both sides of the aisle again.
I think it might well. What is your sense on that?
Well, to me, I mean, that's the way it looks like. I mean, it's got some issues here. I mean, what I like about it overall is that the Tax Foundation scored it and that no American would see a tax hike, and that the business tax reform on it would raise GDP by 15% over 10 years. So to your point about savings and investment, you know, I think that's a great aspect of it, and it balances that with, you know, people who would say, hey, this is only for the fat cats, this is only for the top 10%. The child care credit side, I think, is while it's imperfect, as you know, as an expert in taxes, it's imperfect overall. But to some extent, I think it encourages families. I think it encourages some good things going on there demographically that would really aid the economy as well. So that, I mean, that's my sense.
Yeah, there are a number of very good tax reform proposals that are out there. Rand Paul is going to have a flat tax reform coming out in the next couple of weeks. Paul Ryan's going to have a proposal, probably two. One, if the administration is willing to sign a corporate income tax reform, and then a second one, if they're willing to do both corporate and personal. And you never know when Obama might wake up one morning and be able to sign. He may have troubles and feel he needs to do something somewhere. Mm-hmm. So you want to be ready in case that door opens. Do I expect it to? I don't expect Obama to do anything particularly useful or constructive. But there have been times he thought up the sequester. He was trying to trick us, but he did think it up and put it forward. And that is the big success for conservatives of the Obama years, getting the cap on actual cap on government spending. Not entitlements, but everything but entitlements capped. We took spending from 24% of GDP down to 20% of GDP because of that sequester cap. This is a huge, huge step forward. I think it's just absolutely fascinating that Obama signed that. So when we sometimes think, let's have a bill, let's be ready, maybe Obama will wake up and get out of bed on the wrong side of the bed and agree to something useful, I think we should be ready for that. We should also be ready when we elect a Republican president in 2016 to have the bills ready. We should no more waiting for some president to tell us what he's thinking. We've got a pent-up demand for tax reduction and tax reform, and we should move quickly and forward and tell the president if he has any ideas, that's great, but the Republicans in the House and Senate are all ready to go.
All right, I love it. Lead from ahead instead of from behind. Grover Norquist, President for Americans for Tax Reform, thanks for coming on the show today.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Okay, we'll take a break. You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. We'll be right back.